tuned in to. You are tuned in to. You are tuned in to the full count. Let's go!
Drives it left field, absolutely crushed. You don't see that every night.
Let's go! Welcome to the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast, powered by The Weekly Streamer, with hosts Ryan Antkowiak and Hunter the Country Biscuit Ricks.
I hate all Dodgers. Super Biscuit. Big old Biscuit. Slathered, covered, smothered Biscuit.
Welcome to the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast, powered by The Weekly Streamer. I'm your host, Ryan Antkowiak. We are back for a brand new season, and boy, am I happy to be here. I've got my boy and co-host, Hunter the Country Biscuit Rakes, back with me for 2022. We made it. Biscuit, let's get started right where all the players get started. You ready? A one, a two, a three.
Take me out to the ball,
to the ball game.
Take me out to the crowd.
What is this, like an echo?
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back
for his root.
Root for the biscuit. If they don't win,
it's a shame.
For it's one, two,
three strikes, you're out
at the full count. All right, we're canceled.
You do that so much slower than I do, man. How you doing, dude?
I was gonna go faster, and then like the echo was just. I was like, well, let's just go slow to make sure I don't miss my time in here.
I thought you were just trying to like echo everything. That's gonna sound terrible, but that's okay. How you doing, my man?
I'm good, brother. Just so excited. Baseball's back. Really getting to decide if I made some really good takes this offseason or if I was really bad. So, really excited for
that. So far, so good from what I've heard, man. You're off to a really good start.
Yeah, not too bad. Some really cool things been going on, things we're going to talk about today, but just excited to get fantasy baseball back up and running. Baseball in general, people don't know, I coach T-ball. So, if you want to root for the Silver Creek Tigers, you know, T-ball, it's pretty bad, but, you know, they have fun.
Do they run to the right base?
Sometimes we actually have running bases. We're good. But every time they get a ball, they look at me and they're like, am I supposed to throw it every time? Yeah. And I'm like, no, we just throw to first. I don't care if I have no runners on first. I don't care if they're at third. Everybody throw to first.
Just go to first. Yeah. Do you have a parent playing first, or is there actually a kid over there supposed to catch?
Kid over there is supposed to catch. So I'm like, throw everything at their feet and let them block it.
Chances are that's about as far as they can throw anyway, so that probably works. Man, what a weekend. We had walk-offs, we had debuts, some nasty performances, benches clearing, and through it all, the fans, you, me, and everybody else back cheering. Thank goodness baseball is back. Did you have, outside of T-ball, did you have a highlight from this opening day weekend?
I mean, so I can not be remiss that the Rockies took the series from the Dodgers. I am a pro Dodgers hate. That was a highlight. The Reds, even the series with the Braves, great first for what the Reds have gone through. But I would say my biggest highlight was just the big win it was for the players and how many prospects we saw not get manipulated. I think that was the biggest win for baseball. It's the biggest one for the players, the fans. Is that we didn't see the big names manipulated. You know, J-Rod, Bobby Witt, C.J. Abrams, Torque, Stott. You know, Stott's probably the one because, like, he wasn't clamoring like the others. Like, they had no really reason. But I think you saw all these guys not get manipulated. A guy we'll talk about in a little bit, and Stephen Kwan as well. He's a little lower named. But none of these guys were manipulated, and they could have been. So I think that's a big win for what the players are trying to do. I'm really shocked, you know, some of the owners did it, because I thought they might, with all those talks, really kind of stick it to the players, but they took the high road, and I thought that was a win for everybody involved.
Yeah, yeah. Hunter Green, too, man. I was surprised that was the first name out of your mouth. He looked good, too.
Can we, okay, time out. Can we please stop pitching him 9,200 pitches in his first debut? What are y'all doing? I love Hunter Green, but y'all going to treat this kid like Mark Pryor, y'all gonna calm down. His first start in the majors, y'all get put doing this dude 92 pitches. Calm down. It's his first start, short spring, with that arm. Calm down. I wanted 70 pitches and out. Y'all making this dude pitch 100 in his first time out. Calm down.
Yeah, well, you know, if it were up to him, he would have probably stayed out there even longer. So.
No, don't worry.
Anyway. Yeah, well, man, what a weekend. I'm so thrilled to be here. I watched a lot of baseball this weekend, and it's back to norm. I didn't really know if this season was going to happen. There were points along the way where I didn't think it was going to happen. So I'm just so, so happy to be able to tune in. And, you know, I started off, you know, probably like a lot of us did. I caught some history with Ohtani starting the game for the Angels and then being the leadoff hitter, first time in MLB history that's ever happened. So that was fun. And there's so much to get into. But before we dig into all of it, let me quick get some housekeeping out of the way. First off, please subscribe to the Weekly Streamer Podcast Network and leave us a rating and review. I cannot begin to describe how much that helps us build presence in the industry. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Prospect Pod, where Richard Hake, a.k.a. The Hawk, deep dives every single minor league farm system. This has been a project over the offseason. We did it last year. We're doing it this year. And it is it's a fun exercise, but it also will very much get you ready for your deep dynasty leagues. All 30 teams, 30 prospects. We will in depth break down the top 10. So go check those out. In fact, I think he just released the Pirates this last week. Got another one up on deck here, so be sure to check that out. And thank you so much for being back with us here at Full Count. We are thrilled to be back. We've had a couple episodes leading up, getting you ready for your leagues with dynasty position breakdowns and whatnot. But we are back now. The baseball is back, and this is going to be a weekly occurrence. And I am so, so excited. So anyway, please follow our work on Instagram and YouTube by following Weekly Streamer Network. Now, also, if you'd like to support our work, not just follow, but support our work, I'd encourage you to become a subscriber to our brand new Patreon page. If you're not familiar with Patreon, it is a platform that allows artists and content creators to share their work for a monthly fee. And for just $5 a month, you can have access to our full minor league system write-ups, which is a more thorough and written-out version of the Prospect Pod. We've got a top 650 prospect rankings. They were just updated. We've got top 500 dynasty rankings. When the draft rolls around, we will have rankings there, as well as a full library of articles. So please, please, please consider following and supporting the work that we do. It is a dream come true for all of us, and we really do appreciate all the support. Also, when you are a subscriber on Patreon, we will, throughout the years, release special podcasts, among other things. So lots of benefits there to being a subscriber. So thank you so much. Biscuit, let me allow you to know what's coming, but as well as our listeners. See, here are some of the things that I want to get into today. And there's so much to get into, but week one, we got a full season ahead of us. But first and foremost, we're 4 or 5 days into the season. Let's talk a little bit about who's off to some good starts and some bad starts. Want to talk a little bit about lineup construction. What does the lineups tell us, if anything, from a fantasy perspective? I want to talk about the bullpen, a lot of moving parts, a lot of uncertainty in terms of who is actually the closer on a good chunk of teams. Want to talk debuts. You brought up a bunch of these names already, but you got Julio Rodriguez, who I actually saw live yesterday in Minnesota, which was awesome. Bobby Witt, Bryson Stott, the boys. I guess just Torque in Detroit because Green got hurt. But and then Hunter Green. So lots of awesome debuts. Of course, we're going to get to some injury news and notes as well. So Biscuit, I want to start off with, in your view, who are some of the hot starts? I can rattle off some, but is there anybody that just really, really standing out to you so far through the first 3-4 games?
You know, I think the things with these first couple of games, you're going to have a couple guys that really go crazy. But I'm going to go with the guys that just that we wanted to see good starts from. Guys like Francisco Lindor.
Yeah.
I know it's a big name, but we were really worried about Lindor. Guys like Nolan Arenado. Both are off to just blistering starts with the bat. Those are the kind of guys. You know, we could talk about Kyle Farmer being hot, Danny Jansen, but those I don't think anybody really believes in. But I really like seeing those guys get really hot. Jurickson Profar is a name that I really like. He has a lot of position ability depending on your leagues, and I think he's going to get a lot of play this year. A lot of people liked him last year, and it didn't quite pan out. But he really looks like he might get a little more playing time this year. They moved Adam Frazier. It looks like they're a little more committed to the guys they have. So I like him as well. There's been a lot of crazy starts so far. So you kind of get that the first couple days. But I would say that's kind of the guys that I've most, you know, have seen just some of the big names have all hit so far. So that's always a pleasant surprise. Because if you're going to spend high on a top three round pick, you don't want them to suck. So
yeah,
so far so good for the big name.
Yeah, and Lindor is impressive too because I think it was a Friday night he took a pitch off the face and came back and played the next day. They didn't pull him from the game, but my God,
how did anybody see it? Apple TV was a joke. Did you see it? Anybody see it? Apple.
We're not going to talk about how I saw it, but I saw it.
What did someone? I saw a meme or something that said like. Someone got hit, but Apple TV's too busy talking about cocktail parties and checkers or something. Like, they said it was just bad. The broadcast crew, they said it was just fantastic.
The broadcast was bad, but I will say there was a crispness to the broadcast. They had all kinds of betting probabilities and whatnot that were running throughout the broadcast. So I feel like they can clean up the commentators, but I actually was really, really impressed by the sharpness of Apple TV.
Okay.
So maybe that's the future. I don't know. But yeah, you're right. Twitter went nuts on the broadcast because it was comical at times. And not necessarily in a good way. But some of the guys that stood out to me, this is sort of like the old dude collection. Kyle Hendricks, dude, changeup nasty.
Right.
This was the best changeup I've seen out of Kyle Hendricks in years. He looked awesome. Now potentially say, well, cold weather, first game of the season, maybe pitchers have the advantage. Whatever it is, dude's changeup was nasty. Zach Greinke, coming back to the Royals, he looked pretty good. Adam Wainwright did his thing. Verlander looked good. Yu Darvish had a no-hitter and pulled him out for a pitch count. So some older players coming in and just reminding us all that they are still here. Some other ones that stood out to me, dude, Rodon, San Francisco, 12 Ks in 5 innings. Whew.
Kyle Gibson,
Manea looked good. Chris Bassett looked good. Some people in new places. So one start, right, or one game, doesn't mean they're going to be the Cy Young necessarily, but you'd rather get off to a good start than a bad start.
But it was funny because I guess we're going to start talking about guys. But if you look at pitching, all the guys that a lot of people weren't convinced on had really great first starts. And the guys we were all excited about, blew chunks. Like, all of them. Mm-hmm. They all, like, a lot. It was so bad. So bad. Because I have a lot of them, and they all suck. I'm going to lose week one, but it's okay.
Yeah, well, it's a long season. And, long you know, season. Talking about some of those guys that struggled, and I guess we're kind of focusing on pitchers, but, you know, as a Cubs fan, I was expecting to be swept by the Brewers. So we got to Corbin Burnes, which was surprising. He didn't look terrible, but he didn't look like peak form Corbin Burnes. Brandon Woodruff got knocked up by the Cubbies on Saturday. I think that game was 9-0. Berríos looked pretty terrible in Toronto. Fried got banged up. And then Shane Bieber. Everybody's talking about Shane Bieber. He lost RPMs. He's throwing a lot slower. I don't know what to make of that. It may have just been cold weather, one bad start, but are you worried about any of those players at this point, or are you just knocking it off to early in the season struggles?
I don't know where everybody lives. I know where you live, but it has been between 30 degrees and 50 degrees for 2 weeks. I take zero start in April seriously from any pitchers, good or bad. It's cool to run a streak. If you're in a yearly league with no dynasty, just a redraft, Kyle Gibson is a guy I pick up everywhere. But I don't necessarily think I'd run and go grab him in a dynasty league and pay up for all that, because he's going to come back to earth and just be okay at some point. don't overpay and don't sell off at this point. It just doesn't make sense. Now, if five starts in, six starts in, Bieber looks just lost, then the time to sell off. But if it gets June 1st, you know, give it to June 1st. Let it get warmed up because you don't want to make the bad decision there. But no, I'm not worried about a start on April, 9th?
7th or 8th, 9th, yeah.
Exactly. Not worried.
Well, and also, even though it was shortened this year with spring training, but I mean, these guys are coming from Arizona. They're coming from Florida. They're used to 60s, 70s, 80s. So to pitch at 39 degrees or 41 degrees, whatever it was, depending on where you're at. But
it's a different environment. Yeah, they made different rules this year with the what kind of sticky stuff you can use, what kind of rosin. They didn't get a ton of spring training to get used to it. And with the cold weather, they're really getting used to kind of how it works, what can work and what can't work. Because they are allowed some substances to grip the ball better that is legal. So they're just trying to get that mixture going to what they can use to get the RPMs right. So I would give it a couple starts, give it a month. If things don't look any better, you know, Garrett Cole got knocked around two in the first inning, then settled down. So just give it the first go, and we'll see where everybody's at.
Yeah, yeah. And if you happen to have owners in your leagues that are classic overreactors, then maybe, you know, maybe you go get a Shane Bieber or a Garrett Cole. Yeah, jump on it. But I would not be freaking out at this point either. So we did a little blast there on some pitchers, some that have started off hot, some that have started off cold. I want to talk a little bit about some of the hitters as well. Not so much off the hot starts, because again, I think a 2-3 game sample size isn't you can't make too much out of that. But right. I was interested in lineup construction, some things that we learned based on where certain players were placed. So I'm going to rattle a few off, and if there's any there that you think is notable and you want to talk about, I would, you know, just stop me and dig into it. Angels are on the West Coast. I'm in the Midwest. I don't watch the Angels a ton, but I don't believe Ohtani let off all that much last year. And, you know, maybe that was for show. But he led off every game this weekend, and he's gotten off to a little bit of a slow start. But Ohtani's leading off. That's interesting to me. Joe Adell was batting fifth, showing some confidence there. Matt Duffy, didn't see that coming. Batted cleanup, I think, two out of the three games. Interesting there. So those are all
Angel Love me games. Some Matt Duffy.
Well, he's just solid, man. I mean, I don't think he should be batting third necessarily.
No, he shouldn't.
But you know, in a deeper fantasy league, he's a great bench piece, right? Like a perfect guy to plug in for your second baseman, your third baseman when they're off. So, but I just thought I was really curious who's batting fourth, and they've got some studs in that lineup too. But anyway, also some other ones that I thought were notable: Brewers clearly believing in Adames. It was not a fluke last year. He's batting second all weekend. Yelich batting third, and he's off to a nice start.
Yep.
Tyler O'Neill had a nice weekend batting third for the Cardinals.
I can't
confidence there.
Yeah, I just he's one of those guys off the profile. He gonna have to do it again. I don't believe in it. I can't. Just that strikeout rate and that style of bat. He's gonna have to do it one more time till I can buy in. And if that means I never acquire him, so be it. But I would rather miss out than overpay and be left, you know, holding the bag. Baseball has taught me too much that if you're a high strikeout batter, the room for error is so small. So I don't buy guys like him. I barely buy guys like Gallo, Judge, not using my cup of tea. So can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. Marcelo Zuna, back playing for the Braves, batting cleanup. And I know on our positional breakdowns, you were pretty optimistic and buying Ozuna. Still feel that way?
Yeah. I think in a really good lineup, batting there, you know, especially when Acuna gets back here shortly, I'm all about Ozuna. I think he's always been a boomer bust type bat, but how cheap you could have gotten him, or even probably still can get him. No, buy Ozuna all day long.
Yeah,
for the price.
Sure, value's got to be there, but. In Cleveland, you had Miles Straw leading off. They brought him over from Houston not too long ago. And then
signed Stephen the extension, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Signed the extension. Five years, 25,
I think, yeah. So, believe it in Miles Straw. You had Stephen Kwan. He's a prospect, but 24-year-old, I believe, batting second. And, you know, he was not a top prospect in their system. He kind of popped up, in my view. I wasn't overly familiar with him. He is on fire. Went 5-for-5 today. You know, kind of a slap hitter, not a whole lot of power there, but got some confidence there. Bobby Witt batting second, playing third, playing short. A lot of confidence being displayed in him batting second. The White Sox a couple days ago acquired Pollock, and they had him plugged right into the top of the order. So a lot of confidence there. This one is a real surprise to me. And yeah, well, I don't think it was.
And he's hurt.
He's hurt, but I don't think it was that. I think it was like a day to day kind of deal. But this one I was just shocked by, and you know, I don't know if this is just there's too much talent in this lineup or what. But Josh Donaldson leading off for the Yankees, I couldn't believe that. I'd never seen that before.
Yeah, that one didn't make a lot of sense to me. A, Anthony Rizzo is a fantastic leadoff hitter when he's given the opportunity. So really shocked they didn't hit, or even DJ LeMahieu. It sounds like somebody's thinking too hard. A guy that I want to talk about, he led off at least once this weekend, and it's kind of an homage to I'm going to give Kyle Harris, guy that's with us, does some of our kind of metric stuff. He's really into numbers, and he runs one of our 30-man leagues. He has been talking about Connor Joe for at least 2 years, maybe three, for the Colorado Rockies. Connor Joe hit leadoff this weekend, and I think he had like a 400 OBP or something like that. Was fantastic. That lineup is better than I think a lot of us realize. The bats have never been the problem in Colorado. They get Greichick, they get Chris Bryant, CJ Cron's always a problem. The bats are good there. They're maybe not top shelf, but they're better than average. And Joe is hitting leadoff in what is a pretty decent lineup behind him. I think he's. I wish I would have bought more when I could have. Yeah. I think when I thought about buying, I was kind of in a spot where I didn't have the roster spots to. And it sucks because I'm in leagues with Kyle, who guess who owns him? And he ain't moving him. So I like Connor Joe a lot. I'm sure he's available in a ton of your leagues. I'd have to look at you know the roster on what he's available. But to me, that's a guy you need to go pick up now. Run, don't walk, go get him. He ain't going to hit that forever. But if he can hit leadoff in that really good lineup in Coors Field, he is going to be a guy that wins you a league right now. Pick him up right now. He is a league winner type bat if he can get in the lineup on a consistent basis. So that's a guy I'd go and run to right now.
That's a good call. You know, I'm in a redraft league I've been doing for years with a bunch of guys, and I am almost positive he's sitting on our waiver wire. So Connor Joe's a good call.
65% owned on Fantrax. 65%.
Okay. Well, for Fantrax, those are typically deeper leagues, so that's a fairly low number for Fantrax. I bet it's a lot lower on CBS or Yahoo or ESPN.
Oh, for sure.
Some other notable ones. So we talked about Bryson Stock got the call. He has started off for the Phillies. He's batting seventh, so not necessarily rushing him to be a leader on that team. But lineup construction early in the year I always think is interesting. One I skipped and I was particularly impressed with being a Cubs fan is Nick Madrigal batting second. I think he is if I had to describe a number two hitter, it is Nick Madrigal. It is a guy who has high quality at bats, takes a lot of pitches, high OBP, you know, great batting average, maybe not a lot of power, but can move the runner, just kind of knows how to do all the right things. And I was really, really pumped to see him batting second. I figured they probably had him batting 6th, 7th, 8th, somewhere down there. But they are definitely going to build around him, so I was excited about that one. Any other lineup-type things or hitter news notes? Tommy Pham was another one. I think he was batting 3rd all weekend, so Reds are believing in him. Anybody else that stands out to you?
Kind of a fun one, because if anybody knows me, I love to be petty. Not quite as petty as our boy Matty Ballgame. If he's the queen, I'm the prince of the petty. But Jazz Chisholm pulled off one of the most petty moves of all time. So he gets pulled in the second game, goes off, I think, what, he hit a pinch hit home run or something in the game before, and then Don Mattingly pulls him the second game. Twitter goes crazy. Supposedly it was kind of a thing Don Mattingly does. Everybody gets to play the first weekend. I thought that was just a T-ball rule. Who knew? But he gets pulled. So Jazz Chisholm goes out and retweets every single person like that is saying how dumb Don Mattingly is. It starts retweeting people, like publicly retweeting them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so amazing. And then Don Mattingly ups the petty and bats him ninth or eighth or ninth today. Like, oh my gosh, the amount of petty going on in Miami is just amazing.
Yeah,
I don't know if that means anything. I don't think Jazz Chisholm's going to hit in the bottom of the lineup very often. But to me, it was pretty funny. He clearly was bashing Mattingly, and Madden was like, that's fine, I'll just bat you ninth. And I was like, let's go.
Love it. Love it.
Love it.
Well, you know, but Mattingly being that he came up through the Yankees and played a long time there, I mean, they're kind of all business, right? Like, can't have facial hair, you know, you don't have your name on your back. So he is not all about the individuality and the swag necessarily. He is listen to your coach, do what you're told. So that's a funny exchange. I was not aware of that. I did not see that on Twitter. But anybody else that stood out to you this weekend hitter wise?
Just from a roster standpoint, or just in general?
Well, either way.
From roster, not necessarily. Not from that standpoint. I would say another couple guys that I really liked. Sorry, I had a list and you threw me off because I wasn't ready for my list.
Lists are good, man. Find your
lists are good. Oh, I had to go. Just some names. Bregman was really good this weekend. He was pretty fantastic. I think a lot of guys were kind of I think the hate on him is that he goes to $30 million next year. So I think that's where a lot of the hate goes from him. Jeff McNeil played pretty well this weekend. Oh, here's a good one. We haven't really talked about positions. We'll get more to that as the season goes along. But go pick you up some Jonah Heim. If you forgot catcher in all your leagues and you just said, I'm punting, which I do more times than not, go pick you up Jonah Heim. Jonah Heim was fantastic this weekend. Hit really well in a really good Rangers lineup and has played really well. Nobody picked him up. They obviously liked him enough to move everybody away. Go pick you up some Jonah Heim. I know they don't get Mitch Garver, but Heim played fantastic. So get some Jonah Heim. I like him a lot. I think he's going to push Garver there.
Well, in these deeper leagues that we're in, the way I always build out my rosters, I like to have two catchers, right? Because catchers play four or five games a week, so Jonah Heim's a perfect complement to your other catcher, even if you have one already. So that's a good call on Heim.
Well, and that's not a bad go-get if you have Garver, because I think sometimes people go get two catchers, and that's great and all, but sometimes it's perfect to get the catchers, if you can do it, that play in the same system. That way you always have a guy playing. At all times. Mm-hmm. And that Garver-Heim matchup combo, kind of like how you do in football where you handcuff a running back. If you can kind of handcuff a catcher there, it's one of those sneaky things that could end up paying off as the season goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. Jonah Heim, wasn't expecting you to say that. Yeah, anybody else on your list?
There you go. I would say that's it's so hard because there was a lot of guys who hit like 600 this weekend.
Right.
And you're just not going to see that very often. So far, all the big names played. Springer stayed healthy. He hit pretty well. Bichette was Bichette. Adolis Garcia, he played pretty well. Hit some homers. But other than that, didn't do much. He's still low OP. I would say that's it on some of the guys. There's some guys I want to talk about later with the debuts. Ahmed Rosario was pretty good this weekend with the bat. Time will tell. So far, I think it was a really good week. It was a really good weekend for offense, not so much for pitching. A lot of high-scoring games. So,
yep. Yeah, I'm with you. Which is actually kind of the opposite of last year. I don't know if you remember, but last year pitching just absolutely dominated for like the first 6 weeks. And from a fan's perspective, maybe it's a DH. Who knows? Maybe it's warmer weather. I don't know. But bats definitely were hotter this weekend. What was the score today? I think it what was the Indians Royals game? It was like 19-3 or 17-3. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Yes, I think it was like 17-3.
Okay.
Listen now, Cleveland's going to win that division. I'm going to tell you. Cleveland's going to win.
Unlimited biscuits. But you got to pay me for the gravy. For the gravy. For the gravy.
For the gravy. There you go. I got a friendly bet with a buddy here in town, big Twins fan, and I'm a Twins fan too, but I told him they're not going to win the division, and he disagrees, so I appreciate you saying that.
Y'all remember last year when I made that crazy Mariners take, and y'all said, man, that man's crazy. They didn't win it, but boy, did they get close. So here's the biscuits take now. That team is really good. Ahmed Rosario is good. Jose Ramirez is a top five bat in baseball. They have a top 10 rotation in baseball. Historically, they have a top 10 bullpen. Spencer Kwan is legit. I don't know from fantasy how good he is. Steven Spencer Esquan. He is going to be really good. Guys like Richard Palacios, we haven't talked about yet. He's going to get the call at some point. Framil Reyes is going to do Framil Reyes things. That team is going to be really good. They may not make a lot of noise at the end of the day, but I think with the issues that the White Sox are having, with just the roster, they sold everything off and now they're screwed. They're going to be struggle. Minnesota will give them some run, but I really do. I think Cleveland knew they had something special. That's why they went and signed Jose to that big extension. So here you go. Cleveland's going to win the division. Book it.
Book it. I do think that's going to be a fun race in the AL Central. But I really do feel like those three teams are all going to be right there. Very different than a lot of other divisions where you've got standouts. But that could be a nice dogfight all year long. This year we are back, as everybody knows, Full Count. And one of the very, very fun things we stumbled upon last year was Deep Thoughts with the Country Biscuit. Now, have you been thinking all... Have you been philosophical all winter, just like trying to prepare your mind for these random, you know what, questions I'm going to throw at you?
Yeah, I call it biscuit-sizing. I've been biscuit-sizing. Philosophizing, biscuit-sizing.
Yeah. So I've been doing. I don't.
Yeah, it's hard to say, ain't it?
It is. I can't even say it. All right, man, I got a question for you. Deep Thoughts with the Country Biscuit. Would you rather walk barefoot for 1 week in the winter, or would you rather wear 3 layers at all times for 1 week in the summer?
Barefoot in the wintertime, and it's not close.
Why?
First of all, I am a chunky biscuit. Wearing 3 layers during the summertime sounds like just the worst. Sounds just awful. Now, barefoot, I could walk on a road. I don't have to walk in the wilderness. You didn't say wilderness, did you? Like, I don't have to walk. No, I won't go anywhere. You said just barefoot. I can make sure I stay on a blacktop where it's warm at all times. The sun can keep it warm. I don't have to walk in sticks. Now, I mean, if I had to walk, you know, like Bear Grylls. Yeah, what a fake name. If I had to walk with Bear Grylls, that sounds terrible. But no, I would rather be naked in the summertime than wear three layers at all time. That sounds terrible.
That was the question. Dang it.
No, yeah, there's the question. No, that's easy. Give me barefoot all day long, twice on Sunday.
You know what? I messed that question up.
Yeah, you did. I'm from the sticks. I've been barefoot my whole life.
Well, not only that, it's not that cold where you live. So that was a this one's on me. I apologize, everybody. I will get you with a better question next time. Because I'm thinking, like, where I live, you can't be barefoot, man. It is so friggin' cold here in the Twin Cities. You'd be frostbit in minutes, and then you've got feet falling off the rest of the way.
First of all, that's fine. Have you seen Mr. Deeds? I'll just have the black foot. I'll just have that black foot that you can throw spears through. Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. Prosthetics are a great thing. Prosthetics, and then I can show people my cool prosthetic leg all day long. But I will never be that hot. Never. Y'all want to see me like that? The closest thing it gets to is when we pod in July. Then you'll see the biscuit sweat. I'll be up here in this pod naked because I pod in my garage that has no air conditioning and no heat. So in December, when we decide to pod, I'm boring. And then in July, I'm sweating. You will literally see beads run down my forehead. So,
my forehead. Well, you better stay away from the hawk when you're barefoot, because we know he hates feet in every capacity. So we've talked about that in the past. Anyway, Deep Thoughts with the Country Biscuit. Thank you. What's going on? This is Ryan Antkowiak, host of the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Do me a favor, pull out your wallet or money clip or phone case. Give it a good inspection. If it's anything like mine, it's pretty meh. I mean, let's be honest, it's a wallet. Well, what if there was a product that blended something you love with something you need? Turns out there is. LineDriveOutfitters.com takes real baseball mitts and turns them into wallets, billfolds, money clips,
clutches, and other accessories. And get this, you can get your favorite team's logo engraved or stitched right into the leather. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I grab my own mitt, I get this rush of nostalgia, and it brings me right back to Little League. So let's face it, we all need to carry around our credit cards, cash, IDs, gift cards, whatever. So you might as well carry it around in something that makes you think about the thing we all love, baseball. These babies are hand-stitched, handmade, and made right here in America. Whether you're looking for a unique gift or a way to show off your love of the game, LineDriveOutfitters.com offers a wide variety of products for men and women. That's not all. They will literally make your wallet out of your own mitt. How cool is that? Do me a favor, check out LineDriveOutfitters.com or check them out on Instagram or Facebook at LineDriveOutfitters. They could be, they might be, they are a home run.
All right, man, moving on. This time of year, this is always a question, and I think it's applicable the first weekend. Who the heck is closing? In San Francisco, they made a trade, right? Last week, they moved Paddock to the Twins for Taylor Rogers. Is he closing?
San Diego, by the way. You said San Francisco, but it's...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, San Diego. My bad. Paddock to the Twins, Rogers to the Padres. I do believe Rogers closed one game, but he didn't... I don't think he closed today. So is he the closer? I don't know. You've got the Cubs not going with Roman Wick. They've had Robertson close. Is he the closer? I don't know. Minnesota, who are they going to close with? They brought in Tyler Duffy. He looked terrible. He got shellacked yesterday. I was at the game, and Twins were winning the whole game. They bring in Duffy. They lose the game. So I'm hoping my boy Jorge Alcala takes over. I've been all over him for a while.
Yes, you have. When I saw that trade, I messaged everywhere that Ryan wasn't in because I didn't want people to know that. But I was like, Jorge Alcala for the win. I want you to know I grabbed him in every 10 teamer I'm in the offseason because we had like deep minor league spots. So a lot of times what we'll do is we'll stash kind of minor league relievers or like really young relievers because we're allowed to keep them down there because of innings. It's a loophole, but I grabbed Alcala and stashed him everywhere, and they made that trade. And I was like, "Let's go!" Because he's
so far though they haven't let him close.
No, but he'll get.
I think he will.
It'll be him, or I'll tell you another name you need to go grab now. It's probably Johan Duran. He's a guy that you want to close. You don't want him to start. If you own him, his value is not as good starting. I don't think. I think he's a fringy starter at best. But he could be an elite back of the bullpen. And I think Minnesota has a lot of really good ones. Screw Tyler Duffy. He's all right, but he's not. It should be Alcala or Duran for me. That's your best options for the most, like, stuff. It's them two.
Unlimited biscuits. But you got to pay me for the gravy.
For the gravy.
For the gravy.
Yep. Yep. Duran's a good call. And I think you'll see that play out. I don't know who the closer is there. For right now, it's Tyler Duffy, but I'm not buying it long term. You got Castillo in Seattle. It seems like they're going to go there. Bender is closing in Miami. 3 weeks ago, I had no freaking clue who the closer was in Miami. In fact, they just went and acquired a couple of relievers from Baltimore, right? Susser and I don't remember who else.
Tanner Scott from Baltimore.
Tanner Scott, who I like. Yeah, so I think the Miami situation is a bit fluid. Bender for now, but I'm not sure he's the answer there. Cincinnati, they went with Warren today, but I think Warren pitched earlier in the game, was it Friday or Saturday? So yeah. Not quite sure who's closing there. I do believe Bednar's got Pittsburgh locked down, it seems like. And then in Colorado, I mean, if they can even get in Colorado, it's hard to even close it out a game. But Colomb seems to be the closer there. But it's just always, if you're in leagues where saves matter, you can really pounce on opportunities this time of year, whether it be waiver wire or, you know, even just making trades. Just go get that eighth inning guy because a lot of these teams don't have that answer just yet. So you got to know who to go get. And Duran's a great one. I think Alcala's a good one.
Tanner Rainey from the Nationals. I think this is a guy we were all on 2 years ago, and then it just – and that's the thing with the relievers. I said his name earlier. I'll make a joke with old Matty Ballgame. He said something like, I want an elite controlled bullpen arm. And I said, that's an oxymoron. You know, there's only like five or six guys that you can trust to have the job and be good every year. Really. After that, you're better off punting it.
No, I'm with you, man. It's Hendricks. It's Chapman.
It's Hader. And then then you get expensive. If you're in a salary league, if you want those guys, all of them are expensive. Like, I really like Jordan Romano. I own him, so maybe it's a little bit of a home cooking over here. But I like him a lot because he's cheap. Because if you go and get a Hendricks, you're paying 16. Kimbrel, I think it's like 16. Chapman's 18. So you're paying for him. There's not a whole lot of really good cheap options. Emmanuel Clase is really good. But just think 2 years ago with Kerenchak. Everybody mm-hmm. thought Kerenchak. I'll tell you some names that I like. I like Tyler Rogers in San Francisco, not to close, but they've closed like three different people in the ninth inning. But I think he's always been the eighth inning guy. And there's something to be said in your holds leagues of that consistency, is that he's always the eighth inning guy. He may not close, but there's some consistency in that. Of a guy that I like, who I think is coming back, I don't think he's back just yet, is Jose Leclerc. For the Rangers. Barlow struggled today. I don't think he was ever the option long term. He's good. He's just not really a closer. Leclerc is. And Leclerc had an arm issue. I don't know if he had TJ or not. I can't remember. But to me, he's the guy that I think you just have on the back burner. If you got a deep league, pick him up, stash him. And maybe it pans out. I like Art Warren. I think Art Warren is going to keep the job. Tony Santolin, I'm really shocked they didn't let him have some starter role. But I liked Art Warner for the last 2 years. I really think he got kind of the rub there. Bednar, they said Chris Stratton was going to give him some run. That's to be seen. But that's about – I mean, it's just so hard to guess. I mean, because who knows, right? Bummer looks like a good pickup.
Yeah, he closed. That's right.
He closed today. Garrett Whitlock is a guy people thought would close, but with the extension he signed today, people are saying they're going to stretch him out to start, which I almost would rather him close. I think there's value in a closer, sometimes more than that, but it's so hard, right?
Yep.
Because the Giants have closed, like Leon today. But I thought the Giants that – what's his name was the closer? Jake McGee.
McGee, yeah.
And I guess he's not. I don't know. Well,
so for listeners, this, if you are trying to get an edge in your league, this is the time to go out, scour the roster construction of your opponents. If you're in a 10-team or 12-team or 30-team or whatever it is, there is a good chance that if you're in a shallower league, there are literally guys that are about to be closers sitting on the waiver wire. We probably rattled off a bunch of them, but you really just need to see who's out there, who's available. In these 30-team leagues, everybody's rostered. But I still think you can next man. I went and got shares of Art Warren all offseason, crossing my fingers that he would be the closer. Because when I looked at his metrics, I'm like, this guy, he's got closer potential. And sure enough, now he's closing. So now, could it be short-lived?
Here's another name. Sam Delaplane. I love Sam Delaplane. Sam Delaplane got really let go everywhere because he got cut, right? But it was more of a he had TJ and it was like a 40-man thing. And that's hard in baseball for people who don't play in these kind of leagues. They don't understand the terminology. But basically, he just because the TJ, they had to kind of make him a minor leaguer and do some weird things there. But his stuff is electric. When he comes back from TJ, he might be the best reliever in San Francisco, and that I don't think is a stretch. But he's a good one as well.
He was a pretty high-regarded prospect in the Mariners system. I think he was kind of one of these guys, like, is he going to be a bullpen? Is he going to be a starter? And obviously, once you get that reliever risk profile, your stock kind of plummets. But I'm with you, man. He could be a very, very effective reliever.
I love reliever risk. I will never stop saying that enough. Reliever risk will never scare me off. I love when someone says reliever risk because there is more value in you as a closer and a good one than there is in a fourth starter all day long, twice on Sunday. Because unless you're in a super deep league, you start maybe five starters, you start 50. All right? There are 150 in the major leagues. I will take one of the 30 closers over one of those every day of the week, twice on Sunday. They help you out way more. So,
well, not only that, when someone basically owns a prospect and they acknowledge to you that they see reliever risk, pounce. If it's a guy you like, they just drop the price. They didn't say it, but they just dropped the price. The second that they admit, that's the thing, because they were likely holding out for them to not be a reliever, so go get them.
I still think I said this, that people are going to hate it on me. I think long-term he won't be, but I still think Yuri Perez from Miami has not really a reliever risk, but he's 19 in AA. I think he could be fantastic, like, all day long. But you don't push him that hard if you don't plan to use him. So I could definitely see him as he gets stretched out as older, maybe this year or next, being a guy that is a reliever and elite in the short term. Kind of like how Garrett Whitlock is, maybe a little Michael Kopech, where he's not really stretched out enough to be a starter at that age, but could kind of get to there as he gets older. So that's a guy, that's a name to look out for, because that arm is so good that they're going to get him in the rotation. They're going to get him in the work somehow. I'll tell you what,
let me stop for a second there. So this, I want to make sure I understood what you're saying. So you're saying, like, there's some guys that have such an electric arm, like Yuri Perez in Miami, rather than take the slow process to getting him to be a starter, teams would rather bring him in as a reliever and let him stretch out at the major league level versus take their time in the minors. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because I think that's what they might do. You've seen it happen before with guys like Brandon Finnegan. It didn't work at all. But you see teams, Michael Kopech, Garrett Whitlock, Garrett Crochet, that you kind of see these teams that just the arm is so good that you have to get it in. You have to get it in. Yuri is 19, 20 years old in AA. I don't see them just letting him sit there for a year and then a year in AAA.
They've got a 7-8 man rotation, right? Like, there's so much talent. So they probably could actually use an elite reliever because they've just got so many options at starter.
Yeah, and really at reliever, while they've got some guys they traded for, the bullpen is unsettled. So it's not a negative to Yuri, not at all. I think Yuri is fantastic. I had a buddy go see him this weekend, and they said he looks elite. But unless he's just prime Pedro Martinez, it's going to be really hard for him to break into there now. So I really think you'll see maybe them get that arm into action just so they can at least have that elite ability. You see it a couple times. Spencer Strider, there's another one that I don't think is going to close, but the arm is too good. They have to put him somewhere. So,
yeah, he's another one I was surprised they made the opening day roster, and so far he looks good. So, anyway, so that's a good segue, right? So he debuted. He's probably not one of the big names necessarily, Spencer Strider, but let's talk debuts. J-Rod, Witt, Torque, Stott, Green, Suzuki, probably more than that I'm not even thinking of. Who would you like to start with? I will rattle off their stats. Tell me who you'd like to start with.
Oh, let's start with the best one. All right, let's start with Seiya Suzuki.
Seiya Suzuki, my guy.
Your guy. Let's start with the Cubby. The best one. I think he was the best of the weekend, so let's start with the best.
Well, sure. Statistically, he had the best weekend, no doubt. So he was 3-for-8, 2 runs, 3 RBIs, 4 walks. I love to see that. And a 3-run bomb today. His patience was on full display. Obviously, when a guy comes over from, you know, Japanese league or just a league that is not the majors or the minors, there's a lot of question marks about will it translate. Small sample size, but how are you feeling about Seiya Suzuki?
I have told everybody he scared me a little bit. And if he's amazing, I will still say that I don't always buy that kind of player. And I probably never will, no matter what happens. But he looks legit, man. He does. The walkability is going to be elite no matter what. We'll see if he kind of comes into the power that you want to see. I don't know what he'll do power and stolen base-wise. So if he only hits around 20 homers, maybe that'll, you know, dim his light a little bit. But if he can be a high threes, low fours type OBP, which is what he looks like he can be, I really think the Cubs have a gem there. And the Cubs in general have had a really good start. Kind of a sum of the parts no real stars, but have just played really well. And I think Suzuki really puts them, to the next level in a division that's not necessarily stud level in the NL Central.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be good enough to really compete there, but I was so excited to see them bring him in. It shocked me. I didn't see it coming. I think he batted sixth every game so far, so they're not putting too much pressure on him. I mean, if he keeps playing like he did this weekend, he will move into the five spot, the four spot, the three spot. So, a more legit part of the lineup. But man, I love when you can see a guy be patient in his approach, and especially coming over from a completely different league. I mean, you would think that they would be maybe more aggressive than they would be passive, expecting better pitching. So I'm pretty excited, and I didn't buy any shares either. I wanted to, but I just knew that in these leagues that I'm in, with it, being a free agency situation, I knew because he was a hot new prospect or hot new name, the price in one of our leagues he went for $62 million, which is just,
what league was that? Am I in that one?
Authentic, dude. Authentic.
Did it really?
Is ridiculous. Yes, oh. I think I put in a bid from like, oh, I'll pay him like $18 million, which is already too much.
Was that the White Sox?
Yeah. Oh, anyway, nobody knows about that. Okay, I guess 28 other people know about that. But anyway, I couldn't believe it. It's just insanity. But all right, so let's talk about somebody else. Do you want to talk? You want to go to the other extreme and not overreacting? But Torque, dude, went 0-for-8. He did have a couple walks, which I guess is good to see. They did not pencil him into a major part of the lineup. What are your initial impressions of Torque? Anything to make of a three-game series so far?
Okay, so as an owner, as a guy who plays fantasy baseball and not just talks about it, this is my favorite part, right? When a guy comes up and there's a 95% chance they're going to struggle, now you go buy. Like, oh, give me two more weeks of Torque sucking. Please, dear God, because it changes nothing for me. Nothing at all. But give me 2 or 3 weeks of him struggling, and then let me I wish I was big enough to where I could start leaking fake reports like there's word that the Tigers may send him down. Oh, please, dear God. I can't wait for that report to come out. Because I'm like, hey, man, Torque's struggling. Yeah, I'll give you this guy. No, Torque is going to be really good. I don't know how good he's really – like. I don't know like what the ceiling is. I don't know if it's like Freddie Freeman. I don't know if he'll ever be that good. I always thought that may have been a little overblown, but I think he's going to be a top 10 first baseman. I think he's going to be that good in a realm where there aren't a lot of good young first base options. And if you were listening this offseason, the last couple weeks to our positional breakdowns, you would have heard there's just not a lot there. Torque is going to – yeah, it's top heavy and it's old. So I think Torque is going to be fine. I'm not worried at all about his first couple games at all. I love it, by the way. I love it because I'm going to go buy him in a couple weeks and can't wait.
Yeah, well, so if, staying on that vein, so J-Rod, who I did see debut, or not debut, I guess I saw his first major league hit yesterday. He laced a double, but that was his only hit for the weekend. So he is 1-for-11, no walks, one run, one extra base hit, and 6 Ks in 11 at-bats. So he is looking a little off balance, maybe a little overmatched. Same story with Torque. Like, go buy him. Go. I hope he struggles for a couple more weeks. Or do you think maybe he was rushed up?
So here's what I'll say. We haven't mentioned it quite yet, but I'll go ahead and mention. Bobby Witt kind of had a similar start. I think he's batting like 125 or something. I don't know what he did today, but I don't think he had an amazing weekend either.
Yeah, I think he went 1-for-4 today. So he's 2-for-12 on the weekend. A couple doubles, only one strikeout.
So here's what I'll say: so Torque struggled a little bit in the minors at times, but always figured it out. So he dealt with a little adversity at times, and he also dealt with it in college. Here's what I'll say: it doesn't really worry me because I still think they're going to be really good. But J-Rod and Witt never saw any adversity at any point in the minors ever, not once. They were always the best player on the ball field in every league they played in, always. I will be very interested to see how they handle struggles because it is a huge jump from AA to the majors by far from pitching. You see pitchers do a little better sometimes because I think the gap sometimes is just so much different from double A pitching to majors pitching, and then hitting from vice versa. So I still think they're going to be fine. I feel the same way. Go by if someone falls off of them. But this is where I will definitely be intrigued to see how they handle adversity, because they've never seen it before. So if they make the adjustments, if they do the things necessary, and, you know, in quiet circles, I kind of said that about Witt. I really was not – I knew he was going to be really good, but he never struggled. So I want to see him handle this. So if he handles this well, sky's the limit. But this will be very telling on his development if he can handle the first couple games of struggling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I liked what you said there. They were always the best player on the field, and that's just not the case anymore. You get to the majors, no. And there is talent everywhere. I mean, even on your own team, you've got great players. So, you know, one thing I did think that was interesting about Witt, and actually Bryson Stott as well, is they both played some third base this weekend.
Yep.
And, you know, they may have played a little bit of third in the minors, but in my head, they were, you know, lockstep shortstops. And so it's interesting to see that they're now playing some other positions. I don't know if that was... if that's going to be temporary or if that's going to be their new home. But anyway, just interesting. I didn't expect that out of either one of them. And actually, Witt had a hell of a good play to end or to stay in the game Saturday night, kind of dove for a ball at third and threw this real off-balanced bouncer into home, and they nailed the guy at the plate. Pretty good play. But so clearly he can stick defensively up there at a new position. But let's talk Stott. Anything notable there that you took – you know, that stood out to you, or where do you think he falls in the Torque, J-Rod, Witt conversation?
I think he's the safest bet to be good. I don't think he'll be great. I don't think he'll ever be an all-star. Maybe not. He'll struggle. I don't think he's ever that good. But from a fantasy perspective, I think he'll always be good enough to be rosterable. He will never not be on a roster. I like Bryson Stott a lot. Good, not great. Some of the parts kind of player. He's going to be solid. Guy can just flat hit. Probably a better major leaguer than he is a fantasy player. But I love Bryson Stott. I think he can just rake. I will say, I will not buy into the Alec Bohm slander. Never will. Not going to happen. If you liked him 2 years ago, stop falling now. But they're really trying to get Stott's bat in the lineup, and they're trying to switch him at least in the beginning of the season. But I look at more as a long-term play. Because Segura is a free agent. Gregorius is not around much longer, I don't think. Maybe 2 more years. So they're looking long term. Because next year at second is going to be available, which is where I would assume Stott will go. So I think they want to keep them in the lineup. Bohm played pretty well. Stott's going to be playing pretty well. So I think you're going to see both kind of rotate and hopefully push Segura or Didi out. But Segura's played pretty well so far. So that may not happen. But
yeah.
I like Stott. We'll see how they do the roster crunch there, but I think the bat is solid.
Yeah. Let's talk about one more debut, and this is probably the one you're most excited about, being that you are a Reds fan. What was your take on Mr. Hunter Green today? I know you talked a little bit about the pitches, how many pitches he had, but impressed, what you expected, disappointed? Where'd you land on Hunter Green?
Future Cy Young winner.
Whew.
He's going to win one. And I will fully admit that's a Reds homer take. He's good. I will admit it, and that's fine, but I'll say it with my chest. It ain't going to be this year. It may not be next year or the year after that, but before his career is over, he will win a Cy Young. He is that good. I think he is everything and then some. I will always say that I was wrong. On my take of him 2 years ago, I thought there was major reliever risk of, and I'll still stand by it. Guy had TJ at the time. The rotation was solid, and high Hunter. I saw Aroldis Chapman. I'll be honest with that. So there's no shame there. I think he's good. I think he's everything you could ever want. The fact that they trusted him to go that long speaks to his conditioning. Speaks to his game ability, his pitch ability. He was not phased against the former world champions, of current world champions, however you want to look at it. I think he had the best debut of all the rookies this weekend outside of Seiya Suzuki. And if it wasn't for Suzuki, he really could win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, so. Well, we'll see. I mean, they got a whole season ahead of them. Just
love Hunter Green.
Stats. Hunter Green went five innings, which, again, for a major league debut, first week of the season, that's a long leash.
Yeah.
Four hits, two walks, seven Ks. He did give up three earns, two home runs, but it was really, from what I could tell, just a couple bad pitches that just went over the zone they put out of the park, which is what happens in the majors, but he looked very, very good. All right, man, let's get to our last section today for the first week of the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Just some news, some notes. I want to start with extensions. The Cleveland Guardians spend money. I never knew it was
kinda
coming.
I mean, kinda.
Dude, three extensions in like 10 days? That's crazy to me.
Yeah, the big
Ramirez,
one.
Ramirez, 5/124. Emmanuel Class A, 5/20. Both of those I'm buying all day long. Makes total sense. And then they surprised me with Miles Straw. So here I thought they were turning the corner. Maybe they were going to trade J-Ram and rebuild. I don't think so, man. It looks like they are sticking to this core. You brought up Rosario. He looks good. Obviously, they've got good things going with Tolly Spacen, the DH, dropping his name. Who am I talking about? Man.
Who's this?
The DH for Cleveland.
Framil Reyes?
Reyes, yes. So they've got
a Franimal,
man. The Franimal. They look good, and of course they got Bieber, who's off to a slow start. I get it. And Plesac, and they've got a good staff. So Cleveland, man, they're surprising me. Three extensions in 1 week.
Some other news.
Yeah, I see it. Houston extends Ryan Pressly, 2 years, $30 million. Tampa Bay brought back Manuel Margot. Not sure that's that newsworthy. The Pirates, Ke'Bryan Hayes, 8 years, $70 million. That
sneaky
feels like
extension. Sneaky extension. Have you seen it? So it's so okay. If you were in a league where you did revert, like if you do year to year, it screwed everybody. They're paying him $10 million right now, like eight or something. But it goes backwards. It's so front-loaded when they have no money on the books. They're paying them like 10, 10, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. So when he's like 30, he's going to make $4 million, but it's so front-loaded. It's insane.
He must have opt-outs.
No. Not for seven years.
Okay. A couple other extensions. J.P. Crawford got $551. That one kind of surprised me a little bit, too. And then, as you mentioned a little earlier in the show, Boston extended Garrett Whitlock for 18.75 or something. So.
A lot of really good, savvy extensions. The Cleveland ones are really savvy. Miles Straw for $5 million a year, super savvy. Mayo Clase as well. Really locking dudes up. When you saw a lot of like the Ryan Pressly, kind of like you saw a lot of like the buying out ARB years too, where they did instead of like one, they did like a 2 year ARB extension kind of thing. I saw a lot of that this offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff to see there. Some other news and notes. The trade kind of referenced it before, but Paddock and Pagan to the Twins for Rogers and Rooker. And both of those seem to be working out okay so far. Other than that, you know, I think really the other news, if you will, is just a whole slew of injuries. Some of these happened prior to this weekend, but some of them happened this weekend. Some of the ones that we all know about already was Acuna and, of course, Tatis. But some other guys that we were excited to see, and now it's not looking so promising. Chris Sale looks like he's going to be out for a couple months. Giolito is going to miss a start or two. Moncada is going to be out for 3 weeks. I think you brought up Lance Lynn earlier. Yep. He's going to be out for a bit. Crochet's lost for the season. They just announced that today, or maybe it was yesterday. Luis Castillo is out a couple, two, 3 weeks. Dunn, who they just brought over from Seattle, he's going to be out for a couple months. Karinchak out a few weeks, McCullough out a few months, DeGrom's out a couple months, Mickey Moniak's out a month, Flaherty's out for a bit, Fairbanks for the Rays is out 2 to 3 months, Shane Baz is out for a month. I'm bummed about that. That guy's fun to watch. And so anyway, as always the case, injuries are, you know, they come, they go. This early in the season, I don't really have any reports of guys coming back, but I suppose next week. We will dig
maybe
into
a
that
bit.
Side of
yeah.
the equation. Yeah, we'll get into that side. Also should mention that last season and this season, we are going to be doing the weekly waiver wire report. Didn't make sense to put one together for the opening weekend, but there was a lot of new information that we learned this last weekend. And coming up Thursday, we will release on our Facebook group page and also publish to Patreon the weekly waiver wire report, which will be good for us to dig into next weekend. Biscuit, any other final thoughts or things that you're looking forward to in the week ahead?
No, just really getting looking for another week of baseball, getting to the full week. In fantasy, a lot of people are doing that double week, that long week, and that always sucks. Or you're doing a short week, which is almost as bad. So really getting used to the week basis. This is never a fun one because it's just never a good way to handle it. So just,
yeah, well, there's not a good option, right? So no. I agree. I feel like I always lose the first week of the season, and I'm always like, oh, do I need to make changes? But it's usually just roster construction or whatever, and the 10 or 11 game slate is tricky. What's nothing else? You're just happy we made it.
Just happy. We're happy. We start T-ball games this week. Is that right?
Yeah.
So
he
wanted to finish the podcast with me, so I said he'd come sit in the last one. But we start T-ball, so I'm set up for that. I'm excited to see. I think Nick Lodolo pitches this week, so excited to see him. That'll be very exciting for me as a Reds fan. Hopefully, a bum because I can't go see them in Louisville, but I'm hoping to go see a Bats game at some point this week or next. But that's about it for me. Hopefully, some pitching can get healthy so my fantasy teams turn around a little bit. But.
Good deal. Maddox, how about you, man? Are you excited about baseball?
Are you excited about baseball?
Yeah,
that's awesome. Thanks for being on the show, man. And here's another hit, baby. Well, that is it for this week's episode of the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast, powered by the Weekly Streamer. He's the Country Biscuit, Hunter Rakes, and I'm your host, Ryan Antkowiak. It could be, it might be, it is a home run. See you next week, y'all.
You are tuned in to. You are tuned in to. You are tuned in to. The Full Count. Let's go!
Maddox, nice job, buddy.
Did you say thank you?
Thank you!
You're welcome, dude. Thanks for being on. That's cool.
You're on my earphones. He can't hear you, but
oh, well, he responded well. All things considered, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, he's cool. So he came out here earlier. I don't know if you saw him. And then I said, "Hey, go back, but mommy." And she texted me. She's like, "You hurt his little feelings." So I said, "Hey, the show's almost over. Send him back out here. We'll let him finish, and he could say bye."